Hello, and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode number 41, Black Hole Rising. I'm your host, the Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is my special guest co-host, CJ, Chris Johnston.
Hey, how's it going, Chris?
It's going very well. I'm glad to have you as our guest host today. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, you were never part of Nintendo Power, but you were always a big Nintendo fan. You've been in the industry a whole lot of years, and you are also the host of the Player One podcast, correct?
That's correct. Still am the host of the Player One podcast, and I've been a Nintendo fan since the NES days.
Awesome.
So, yeah. Thanks for having me on the show, by the way. You know, I've been a listener since episode one. So this is a big treat for me.
Well, very cool. Glad to have you. Were you ever in Nintendo Power in any capacity? Did you, you know, get a high score in there? Were you in the letters column or anything like that?
Sadly, no. Although I guess, so I used to run EGM's news section back in the day. That's another thing that I did. And I did the April Fool's jokes for several years in that magazine, including the Smash Brothers Sonic and Tails code. That trick. So I was behind that. I masterminded that. And I think that made it into Nintendo Power. So
yeah, that was probably responsible for a lot of letters that came Nintendo Power's way.
Yeah.
Well, I'm definitely glad to have you here because we've got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. We've got some game impressions. We've got our big topic, which is the 5-year anniversary of the Nintendo 3DS in North America. But we will kick things off with some news. And first and foremost in the news, floating around on the internet today were some images of the supposed leaked NX controller. Were you able to check these out?
I was. I'm following anything NX news, and as soon as those popped up on Twitter, I was analyzing them, looking for clues in those images, just like everyone else on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for people who haven't seen them, the pictures of this supposed NX controller are a lot like what was shown in that Nintendo patent image that was shown, you know, a while back. But it's basically a shiny oval with two analog sticks and you know, no face buttons. That's sort of the main distinguishing characteristic. No face buttons. So what do you think of this? Is it real? Is it fake? Do you like it?
I think it's probably real, or probably close to real. There was another image that was circulating before this that looked very similar, right?
Yeah, there was. Sometime in the past week, there was another very similar image, but apparently that one was fake.
Mm. Or at least part of it was fake. The image that was on the screen, I think, was determined to be from an Unreal Engine 4, like, demo, right? But I'm not sure about the actual device itself. It may have been real, may not have been.
Well, it's definitely close to those schematics. And, you know, like they say, where there's smoke, there's fire. So I wouldn't completely say that this is fake, but, you know, it's hard to know. You know, this kind of stuff always brings out the tricksters. Mm. But, you know, could Nintendo be actually trying to make a controller that doesn't have actual physical buttons? I mean, this was sort of, you know, one of Nintendo's excuses for, you know, why they wouldn't want to put their back catalog on mobile, because you need to have tactile buttons to play those games properly. You know, Iwata went on record saying, yeah, you can't have these kinds of experiences without buttons. And it'd be really hard to get, you know, third parties on board to, you know, bring over multi-platform games for a controller that didn't have buttons.
Mm, you're right. I mean, I think Nintendo probably lost that battle with smartphones, and they have obviously come around to that. And there are a lot of players playing on devices that don't have physical buttons, playing games just fine. So I don't know. Maybe they've come around to that, but I think it's a really interesting device that would have touch controls. You've got the analog sticks there. In the patent filing, they sort of hinted at on-screen buttons, sort of similar to the 3DS's screen, how that's being used, where You can have any interface that the game demands. You can put mini maps on the 3DS. I'm sure they'll come up with excellent uses for that touchscreen.
Yeah, I mean, that's the idea, is that this whole big shiny oval would be like a giant touchscreen. You could put maps, or you could put, you know, any kinds of buttons you needed, anything like that. So it would be a very flexible device if that's the case.
Yeah, I'm sure they've been doing research on, you know, gameplay styles without buttons, and maybe they've hit on something that they like. You know, that oftentimes is the catalyst for why Nintendo does the things that they do, like the layout of the GameCube controller or the N64 controller being designed basically for Mario 64, and everything has to sort of blend behind that. So I'm curious to see how it's being used. I mean, that's the thing we really don't know. We don't know about the content on this system. We just have seen out of context pictures of something. We don't know if it's just a prototype or how close it might be to the final thing. We've seen in those patent filings that that's sort of what Nintendo's thinking, but a lot of times patent illustrations don't add up to what is in the final product. So
that's true. They don't always tell the whole story either.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my take on it is that either A, it's outright fake. B, Nintendo has figured out some way to properly do haptic feedback on the touchscreen, so it would actually give you some sort of tactile experience for when you're trying to press down and find buttons. Or C, they're just also a standard controller like the Wii and the Wii U had to go along with, you know, this, you know, sort of out there device.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, I don't really care how it looks. I mean, I bought the 3DS and I didn't like how that looked, the system design itself. So all I really want to know is, you know, what games are coming out and what services they're going to have on the new machine. Is it going to use Street Pass? Are things going to be playable on the TV? Is it going to be backwards compatible at all? Like, that's the stuff I'm really interested in. The actual look of the controller, I could honestly take it or leave it. Like, just show me what sort of content I'm going to be playing from Nintendo.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of am fearful of a controller that wouldn't have tactile buttons, but I don't think Nintendo would just put something out there like that without a really good reason. I think that if it's that way, you know, it's because they've determined that it works, especially for their types of games, and probably for other types of games. But, you know, Nintendo's probably not going to say anything anytime soon, so I think we can just, you know, sit back and, you know, chalk this up to another rumor and, you know, see what actually unfolds over the next few months.
Sounds good to me.
All right, now moving on from that, I'd like to talk about a couple of new game releases. First off, Pokken Tournament. Now, this is, of course, the Pokemon fighting game for the Wii U. Have you had a chance to play this one yet?
Very briefly, yeah. I wasn't on board until I saw that image of the Luchador Pikachu.
Yes, Pikachu Libre.
I did not know that that was a real thing. It sort of looked like it could have been faked or something.
Oh no, it's real. And I've known about that for a while. That was probably the most exciting thing for me about this game.
Yeah.
I mean, what's more exciting than Pikachu besides wrestling Pikachu?
Exactly. Exactly. And then I had booted up the Wii U gamepad last night and my daughter saw the icon for it in the little Mi Plaza. And I was like, all right, we'll pick it up. She might be into it, and I really like that Luchador Pikachu, so yeah, I've played a little bit of it so far.
And what do you think so far?
I like it. It's a really beautiful game. The graphics
it looks great.
Are so good. And
I really like the backgrounds especially.
Yes. And the little touches that they've added in the backgrounds too, like little things happening in the town in the background it's very layered, and I like those sorts of details, like little things that the person who's playing probably won't even notice, but someone who's watching the game will be like, oh my gosh, there's another Pokemon battle going on in the background, or there's a Pokemon Center here, and people are going in and out of that. Like, yeah, that's interesting stuff to me. But
yeah, totally.
The combat system seems easy to pick up too. It seems
really?
Like it's well,
because I was thinking it was really complicated. I thought it was surprisingly complicated.
It might be like, good for a button masher, like
I mean,
what I was
you're
doing last
switching
night.
between these, you know, basically 2D and 3D fighting environments. Like every time you sort of land a big hit, it switches between these two modes, and it doesn't seem, you know, that consistent. And the controls change as well when you do this. Like, you know, suddenly the button that's used for, you know, quick homing attacks is like your heavy attack. Mm. And I'm like, wow, for a Nintendo game, for a Pokemon game, this is surprisingly complicated. And it almost felt like, you know, the anti-Smash Brothers, where that one is, you know, very pick up and play. Everyone has, you know, the same basic, you know, methods for doing their moves, and just very straightforward. And this, I thought, wow, this is, you know, it's got a lot of complexity to it. It might take a while to figure out.
I guess when I was mashing buttons, I didn't really notice that yet, but I probably will as I get further into it.
But, you know, despite, you know, this, you know, complexity that I was noticing, I do think it's pretty fun. It feels pretty solid. You know, there are, you know, a lot of moves and a lot of technique, I think. I mean, I haven't played a ton either. I played through, like, the D League, sort of the easy league in story mode.
Mm-hmm.
I played through the, first you have to go through just a bunch of single battles, then you have a tournament, and then you have your championship, or not championship, but you know, fight sort of the ruler of that level to be able to go on. And then there's sort of another sort of surprise battle that comes after that. I don't want to spoil it for you if you haven't played it yet, but
that
part's pretty cool.
What do you think of the voice acting?
Well, you know, the only voices I've really heard a lot are from Nia when she's talking to you.
Mm.
And the two things I've got to say about Nia are that, one, I think I totally have a crush on her. And the second thing is her voice, it doesn't really seem right.
Yeah. It seems like a lot of the voices don't really seem right.
Yeah, so I guess that's one thing I would have changed. Another thing maybe I would have changed is a bigger roster of Pokemon. Because, the characters they have there, it seems, you know, pretty decent. But, you know, when you think of something like Smash Brothers with 50-plus characters, this only has, like, 15. Mm. And then there's, you know, some, you know, really popular characters I would have expected in there. You know, starter-type characters, you know, Venusaur, Blastoise. Like, it's really weird that those guys didn't make it into the game.
Yeah, I mean, could be downloadable content later if the game takes off. But maybe also, you know, Pokemon has been around for so long. Maybe we are just fans of the original roster, and there are more people who like some of the later characters, and so they had to kind of pick 14 out of the bunch that people liked.
Well, probably.
Yeah.
But, you know, it feels like, you know, 24 or something character roster would have been nicer. I don't know, maybe I'm just being greedy.
You never have too many Pokemon.
That's true. I mean, I'm not asking for all 700 plus or anything like that, but
that would be great. I'd love that. Let's do that.
Well, there are a lot of other Pokemon in there, at least as your support characters. And most of those are unlockable. I only have, you know, a handful of those so far, but at least the other Pokemon are represented that way, if nothing else. And of course it does have Pikachu Libre, which is probably the greatest Pokemon out there. I really enjoy playing as her. She doesn't have as many, you know, grapple moves as I would have liked. You know, I was kind of hoping for someone who could just, you know, come in and be like, you know, the Zangief character. I wanted to see little Pikachu Libre doing like a giant spinning pile driver on Mewtwo or whatever.
That would be amazing.
But that doesn't happen. She does have, you know, some throw attacks built into her special moves, but you know, nothing that requires a, you know, 360 degree joystick motion or anything like that. But my early impressions are it is a fun game. It's enjoyable. It's pretty cool.
I agree with that.
Now, have you had a chance to play the other Nintendo new release, Mario and Sonic, at the 2016 Rio Olympic Games for the Nintendo 3DS?
You know, I have not. I've skipped all of the Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games games, and I was a big fan of track and field too back in the day, so you would think
that
I would really
favorites.
I would really like these types of games, but I haven't played any of them. What's this one like?
Well, I haven't played much of them either, so I don't really have a good frame of reference. But you know, I have spent a couple hours with this one, and it has as its key feature an RPG style mode, kind of like, you know, the old Mario Golf and Mario Tennis games that, you know, people liked so much. And on the plus side, you know, it seems to have a lot of depth. You can buy new costumes, you're going around to various events, you're doing various training activities, which are, you know, like, you know, mini micro events. But on the downside, you know, you're playing as a me, and you really think that in a Mario and Sonic at the Olympics title, you want to be playing as, you know, Sonic or Mario or Luigi or Bowser or Tails or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I remember in some of those older Mario sports games, that was kind of the same thing. It was just an avatar. You weren't playing as Mario. And I thought that was a missed opportunity. And it's the same way here, which, again, I feel is kind of a letdown. I don't really want to be playing as my own me cosplaying as Sonic the Hedgehog. I would rather be playing as Sonic the Hedgehog.
I agree, but then if you were Sonic, wouldn't he have a little bit of an advantage in the track events?
I'm not going to worry about that too much. Maybe that's their excuse.
But I agree with you. You know, I wouldn't want to. I don't want to play as a virtual representation of myself in an Olympics game. Like, oh, I would want to play as Mario or Luigi. So that seems to not make much sense.
And you can play as them, of course, but as far as I can tell, it's only for a single event or maybe for multiplayer, just, you know, a quick pick-up-and-play sort of thing, not for the sink-your-teeth-into-it single-player mode.
Lame.
And but I will say that most of the events I've played are pretty fun. You know, I've tried out, you know, the 100-meter dash, relay race, table tennis, some synchronized swimming, triple jump, street hockey, whitewater canoeing, badminton. And, you know, all those games have been fairly fun. You know, some of them are a little more involved than others. Like I was indicating, you know, there are these training games, and they're just, they're really simple mini games. You know, might be as simple as, you know, synchronized button pressing, you know, when a meter comes by, or, you know, shaking the 3DS in a different direction. Of course, it does have, you know, all kinds of different control schemes depending on the mini game. Some are just the analog stick, some are the buttons, some are, you know, moving the 3DS around. Some are a combination of both. But all of them seem to work pretty well. Most of them are pretty fun. I don't know, you know, if it's going to make me want to, you know, buy the game long term. I was just borrowing it for a couple of days. But, you know, if you are into sports minigames, you know, it's certainly not a bad way to go.
All right.
So moving on from the impressions into some news. A bunch of details about Hyrule Warriors Legends DLC have come to light. That game, of course, will be out very, very soon. It's an enhanced version of the Wii U title, but there's going to be even more content coming down the road. Have you been keeping up with this?
I haven't. I was excited about Hyrule Warriors Legends, and then I started hearing about how poorly it runs on some machines and that there's a little bit of slowdown, so I have become less interested in it. But reading this list, maybe I should get back into it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna withhold judgment. I haven't played it myself. Hopefully I'll be able to try it out once it hits retail in a couple of days. But yeah, the DLC does sound very interesting. First of all, there is a Master Wind Waker pack, which is only available for the 3DS version, only for Legends. And that's like, it's got, you know, some costumes for the My Fairy feature, which I'm not even sure what the My Fairy feature is. I know there's a customizable fairy in the game, but I'm not exactly sure how it works. But it's that. There's a new adventure mode map and new adventure battle scenarios. That's only 99 cents, and it comes out very soon in the spring. But then after that is where it gets interesting. There is a Link's Awakening pack, a Phantom Hourglass and Spirit Tracks pack, and a Link Between Worlds pack. And each one of these comes with new costumes for My Fairy mode, new adventure mode maps. None of this is content for the main story mode. It's only for the add-on adventure modes. You know, adventure mode being, you know, the one where you're moving from point to point on the top-down, old-school, pixelated map. And then challenge mode just being, you know, sort of these, you know, tough challenges. You know, defeat, you know, so many enemies within a time limit. Or, you know, defeat so many enemies before your rival does. Things like that. But still, you know, delving into, you know, these classic handheld games is really cool. And, of course, you know, I think maybe more exciting than, you know, new adventure mode maps is that most of them involve new characters and new weapons. Hmm. So if we're seeing, you know, new characters coming from Link's Awakening, Phantom Hourglass and Spirit Tracks, and Link Between Worlds, do you have any idea what you would like to see?
Well, there should definitely be a train in there for Spirit Tracks, right?
Well, I hadn't thought about a playable train, but maybe that could be a weapon, you know. Opponent counts as a weapon for Link, so yes. Yeah, that would make a lot of sense.
Yes, yes. From Link Between Worlds, I would think you'd have Ravio, the little merchant guy, shopkeeper.
Yeah, the guy who kind of dresses like a bunny and is holding, you know, deep secrets. Yeah, he would be really cool to have.
That's right. And what about the Mother Mayamai, as maybe as a weapon on there too?
I was kind of thinking that Yuga, the bad guy, would be the most appropriate, aside from Ravio, to go in that scenario.
That's true. Yeah,
are two playable characters from Link Between Worlds. For Phantom Hourglass and Spirit Tracks, there's just one new playable character between both of those. My hope is for Burn, who was from Spirit Tracks. He was sort of, you know, the bad guy with like this big claw arm, with kind of like a cyborg arm or something. I don't think it was. I think it was just a big metal claw he was wearing on his arm. But I think he would be my first pick.
Okay.
And then for Link's Awakening, to me, like really the only character that would make sense is Marin.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she's really the only one that had, you know, like any, you know, really significant presence, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose you could say the owl or something. I don't think you'd want to be playing as a giant sleeping windfish or anything.
Yeah.
But
those would be
good
for weapons,
character.
Though. You could have those as weapons.
Just crush everybody with the giant sleeping windfish?
Yeah.
Just don't wake him up or you know what happens. But yeah, all that stuff is coming out. Most of these packs are $6.99 individually on 3DS. You can do a season pass, get everything for $14.99 on 3DS, or go all in for Wii U and 3DS for $19.99. There will also be a Wii U season pass coming out. You'll be able to buy that starting in the summer, but I believe that is only the characters and the weapons, no new adventure mode maps or anything like that. So, you know, that's a lot more limited, which is a little disappointing. But again, since it's not story mode scenario stuff, I don't feel like I'm going to be missing out on too much.
Yeah.
On the Wii U.
Would you go back to the Wii U version, or would you focus on the 3DS one if you bought this content?
Well, I mean, if it were, you know, equal across both platforms, you know, I think I'd stick with the Wii U, because it seems like the Wii U is way better for this kind of game. And when you're playing a game that's, you know, screen-filling enemies and, you know, tons of action going on, I think that, you know, playing on your TV would be the superior way to play. But, you know, like I said, I haven't played it yet, so I will see. But yeah, I just fired up Hyrule Warriors a couple of hours ago to try it out again and, you know, refresh my memory for what it's all about. And yeah, I was still enjoying it. It'll definitely pull me back in when the new content is available.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I loved Hyrule Warriors. It was really the first, well, maybe second time that I played a Warriors-style game. Mm. And the Zelda stuff really got me.
Yeah, it really adds a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, the theme is really important, I think, in those Warriors kinds of games. You know, things can get a little repetitive, but when it's a world that you already know and care about, I think that goes a long way in making the experience a lot more appealing.
I agree.
Now, aside from the Hyrule Warriors news, there was also some news out in the past week about a game I'm quite looking forward to, which is Zero Time Dilemma, that being the sequel to 999 and Virtue's Last Reward, you know, sort of a mystery combined with puzzle solving, combined with, you know, visual novel elements. And, you know, I'm a big fan of those previous games. Have you had any experience with those?
I have had no experience with those.
Well, let me tell you, I think you are missing out. I think those are excellent games. And after, you know, hearing some of the details and seeing the trailer for Zero Time Dilemma, you know, I'm very excited. In the previous games, it was about, you know, nine people who were held against their will. They don't really know what's going on. But, you know, it seems like, you know, death is coming at any corner and you have to solve these puzzles. And it's very much the same in this one. And if you are a fan of the previous games, you know, I think this one is even, you know, more exciting because it brings back a lot of the old characters. So if you know Junpei and Akane from 999, if you know Phi and Sigma from Virtue's Last Reward, you'll be glad to know that, you know, they're all in this one. You know, they're all part of your playable party. The character Diana, who was also in Virtue's Last Reward, you know, you get to, you know, see her, you know, up close and personal in this one. And, you know, the man behind the game, Mr. Uchikoshi, you know, promises that this game will be, you know, even more tragic and miserable than the previous games in the series. And, you know, that sounds good to me because, you know, I kind of like this whole edge of the seat, who's going to live, who's going to die sort of thing that's going on. You know, we're seeing characters, you know, covered in blood. We're seeing them having to, you know, make horrible choices.
Sounds like something that should be on the front of the box. More miserable and more tragic than ever
but
before.
But in a good way, yes. Yeah, I mean, you know, this is definitely an M-rated game. It is, you know, not necessarily for, you know, everybody in the Nintendo audience. But, you know, if you are a fan of this kind of stuff, you know, it's looking very good. And the most important thing, perhaps, about the announcement is that it is coming out on June 28th. So only about 3 months off. And I am quite looking forward to it.
And that's on 3DS?
Yes, that is on 3DS.
All right.
So, yeah, you've only got 3 months to go back and play 999 and Virtue's Last Reward. So you're all caught up and ready to go.
I better get going.
And in the same vein, there was a new anime prologue released for the next Ace Attorney title, Ace Attorney 6. How about that one? Is that up your alley more?
I played the first two or three Ace Attorney games and mm-hmm. Then kind of lost touch with the series. But I'm always interested in more. I think I have bought all of them, but have not played all of them. I keep waiting for a rainy day where I'm going to just go through them. And it never happens.
It has definitely become one of my favorite series in recent years. And this new prologue, you know, it's looking pretty spectacular. It starts out, you know, there's a scene in court with Phoenix and Athena and Black Will, and there's some pork buns involved, and that it's highly entertaining. Let me say that. I'm not going to spoil it if you want to, you know, go and check this out for yourself. Then there's a scene showing Maya, and of course people knew that she was back in this game, but she's definitely looking older and more mature, and it's interesting to see what's happening with her in her country of Kurain that brings Phoenix back there. Speaking of which, there is a pretty hilarious montage of Phoenix trying to, you know, quickly pack his bags and get going and, you know, fly out there to visit her when he thinks she's in trouble. You know, blink and you'll miss it. But, you know, he's like losing his suitcase. The suitcase explodes all over the airport. And it's very quick and goofy. But, you know, it fits the whole you know, Ace Attorney, you know, mix of seriousness and humor very, very well.
Cool. Is that on YouTube or where is that available?
Yeah, it's out on YouTube and there's even a subbed version out there as well. So if you want to, you know, be able to understand what's going on in English, yeah, just check it out online.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Now, speaking of things that are out in Japan, the long-awaited Miitomo is out overseas. And I understand it's doing very, very well. It was like, you know, the top free iPhone app. Nintendo's stock went up after it came out. And you've had a chance to play it, right?
I have, yeah. I created a Japanese iTunes account just to download Miitomo.
Well, I have not, so I'd love to hear what it's all about.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a light version of Tomodachi Life, but it includes answers to questions from your real friends or your Twitter friends or Facebook friends. When you download the app, it asks you to connect some services, so you can connect Twitter, Facebook, Line, and My Nintendo, and mm-hmm. then it matches you up with some friends, if you're mutually friends on those services, and then it starts asking you questions, and you answer them, and you can see your friends' answers, and if a new comment is posted on something, on one of the question threads, it notifies you. And I've actually been really surprised at how well Nintendo has just embraced the language of mobile. Yeah, I think if you have an iPhone or if you follow the iOS game market at all, you probably know that you know, mobile apps from other hardware manufacturers have been disappointing. Sony has tried a couple of game apps that had tie-ins, and there was a Knack mobile game and a Ratchet and Clank mobile game that wasn't too good.
Huh, I missed that one.
Yeah, Nintendo has really embraced a lot of technologies of the hardware that they're on. Miitomo includes 3D touch shortcuts on the iPhone. Huh. So those are only ones that are in the most recent revision of the iPhone, the 6S and 6S Plus. You have configurable push notifications for, so you can turn them on or off for things like friend requests, new friends, comments, hearts, Nintendo messages, which is nice. There's a power saving mode. The game actually runs at 60 frames a second and looks really, really nice.
That almost seems unnecessary.
It kind of does. And the interface and scrolling through questions feels very natural. If you have like a discussion thread, it's really interesting. You'll start scrolling through the answers and they're all read by that sort of digitized Tomodachi Life type voice. But the characters will, so let's say in a thread, it's got three responses. It'll start reading one response, and then the me's that are below it will look up at the me that's speaking. And then when that one finishes and the next one starts, the me above it will look down. It's very like, the details are there, like those little tiny Nintendo details that are so lovely in games like Mario 3D World, etc. Like those are... those are in here, and it's so great to see. And it does a lot of things really right for a social app and a mobile game. It has things like daily bonuses, so you're encouraged to come back to get your 500 Nintendo coins so that you can save up and buy a new outfit for your Mii. It's got rewards for coming back to the app for answering questions and for commenting on friends' questions, the little me photo thing that it has. So it has like a section in it where you can pose your me.
Yeah, sort of an AR function, right?
Sort of an AR function. Yeah, you can use it in photos that you take, or they've got a bunch of like pre-done backgrounds. And you can add speech balloons and reactions, and you can scroll through different animations and pose everybody and take a camera shot and post those to not only Miitomo, but Facebook, Twitter, and Line if you want, which is pretty nice. It does have a slight game element. There is a Miitomo drop mini game in here that's sort of a pachinko or plinko type game where you spend Nintendo game tickets, which is another thing that you earn by answering questions, and you can sort of, you know, let you actually drop Mii's through this like Plinko game board, and if they land on an item, then you get that item. Or if it goes all the way to the bottom, you'll just get candy, which candy only shows you like friend answers to, like, not your friends, but your friends' friends' answers. So not really necessary, but you get a lot of candy, so I don't know what they're going to do with that. You can connect it to your My Nintendo account and earn points, which can be used to get little mini games like the My Nintendo Twilight Princess Picross game.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that.
Me as well. And but I can't do that because I had to set my country as Japan. I could not connect it to my U.S. My Nintendo account yet. So,
So overall, thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle.
I'm pretty impressed by it, actually. It, you know, I open the app at least once a day to see what's new, and I usually answer a few questions and reply to a couple friend threads. And I think once it opens up to everybody, it'll be a lot more fun. You know, I have a couple of friends that I'm not actually personal friends with. I'm just friends with on Twitter just to try this app, basically. And I think it'll be a lot more fun once I'm communicating and with people I actually know. I know a few of those people, but not everybody, so it's interesting.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to trying it out. It should be out in the U.S. very soon. You know, could be out tomorrow, could be out in the next week, but it should be out very soon, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Another bit of news out of Japan is that the Nikkei News was claiming that Wii U production is going to be ceasing at the end of the year. But then Nintendo came out and said, no, that's not true. They're totally denying it. Do you have any take on this bit of information?
Well, the Nikkei has reported a lot of Nintendo news in the past that turned out to be true, like the whole Nintendo making mobile games thing most recently. So it may be true, but obviously Nintendo doesn't want the sort of PR nightmare. They don't want people to stop buying Wii U's or games for the
Wii
U. Have
they stopped already?
I haven't.
We haven't.
Yeah. But it's probably true, and it's sad to me because I like the Wii U so much. But it's probably just about time for that to happen. So,
well, if it's true, I mean, then it totally means that you know, we can expect the NX, you know, this year for sure. Mm. That's kind of what it would be signifying.
Yeah,
I don't think they would be stopping production if it didn't mean that. So, you know, it's a interesting rumor. You know, more fuel for the fire that NX is indeed this year. And yeah,
do you think
I'm looking forward to playing it? So,
do you think it lends any credence to Zelda Wii U? Like, if Nintendo were to stop production on the Wii U this calendar year, does that mean that Zelda Wii U, which is supposed to be out before the end of the year, is going to jump to the next system entirely, or do you think it'll still come out for the Wii U?
Well, Nintendo's been so adamant that it's coming out on the Wii U. I think it is going to come out on Wii U, but I think it's a very high chance it's going to pull a Twilight Princess and be on NX as well. Hmm. Unless, you know, the system doesn't have buttons and it really needs buttons to run.
That's right.
And now for our last bit of news. It's our favorite topic, Amiibo.
Amiibo!
So, of course, this past Friday, there were a bunch of new Amiibo released. We got Rob, Ryu, and Roy from Smash Brothers, as well as some new Animal Crossing Amiibo. Did you pick up any of these guys?
I did not. I have avoided,
oh my goodness,
avoided this round. I'm not like you in hunting Amiibo at Toys R Us or anything like that. I'm trying not to get everyone, so I have skipped this round.
Well, I have got to catch them all. Mm. So I just ordered these guys through Amazon. No more standing in lines at Toys R Us for this wave. Although apparently, you know, Mega Yarn Yoshi was available again at Toys R Us this past weekend, and I did go out just to see if I could find him. I could not. Fortunately,
really?
I already had one, but
I had heard and I saw some pictures on Twitter of people who had checked, and there were stacks of them at some locations.
Yeah, I had heard that as well, and so I thought, okay, I won't have any problem finding one. I mean, I didn't go out, you know, super early in the day or anything like that, but I went out in the evening and went out, you know, to a different store the next day. But nope, none around here. But, you know, then again, you know, I'm going to the Toys R Us that's like across the street from PlayStation headquarters. Huh. So there are probably a lot of video game fans around those parts.
Just a few.
But, you know, I did pick up these regular new Amiibo. I would say my least favorite of the group would be Roy. You know, no offense to Roy, but I don't know. There's something about his design just kind of, you know, tells me, like, you know, early anime design, and it's just a little bit you know, weaker than most of the other characters in Smash Brothers. Hmm. He's not terrible or anything. Then I guess after that would be the Animal Crossing guys, Cap'n and Rover. You know, they're solid. You know, sort of small. I'm surprised how small they are compared to Roy and Ryu.
Hmm.
But I do really like Tommy and Timmy. The fact there's two of them together on this stand, you know, is super cute. And, you know, it's kind of weird to see him wearing just these aprons and no pants and stuff. But still, the way that the two of them pose together, you know, makes it, you know, sort of like a diorama, kind of like the thing I liked about Olimar and his Pikmin.
Now, so, how much of Amiibo Festival have you played?
I've played a couple rounds. It's terrible. I do not enjoy that game. It's a super baby game for babies, and I do not recommend it.
Is that a bad thing, though? Nintendo has to make games for all age groups, right?
Well, that's the thing, is that, you know, usually their games are for all ages, and it's like you can play it if you're a kid, you can play it if you're an adult, but that's one you should only play if you're, you know, a little kid or you're a parent playing with little kids.
Okay.
And you know, that's what's so weird about it, is I feel like, you know, it's a very narrow audience compared to, you know, most of the stuff they do. But yeah. So I have the Amiibo, but I'm not going to use them with that game probably. I might not ever fire that game up again.
Yeah, I have a few of the Animal Crossing Amiibo, and I don't have Amiibo Festival, and no plans to buy it whatsoever. But I love the series so much, so I had to get them.
Yeah, you're really not missing out on anything.
Hmm.
But you are missing out on the Ryu Amiibo, and I do really like that one. You know, aside from it being, you know, a great legendary third-party character that, you know, you would never really expect to see in toy form from Nintendo, know, that's one of the great things about it. But it's also just a really great sculpt, you know, great musculature on him. And it's very much in scale with the Ryu from the Street Fighter 4 Collector's Edition I have. So that's kind of cool to pose those next to each other. Stand them next to each other. They're not poseable, I should say. And then there's Rob, who I did not pick up because I got the Japanese Rob many months ago, because I never thought in my wildest dreams they would bring out that version here in the U.S. But they did. And I am happy for the people that were able to get it without spending, you know, import fees like I did.
I was very tempted on that one. That and Cap'n. I'm very tempted to pick up. If I see them in a store, I'll get them. If not, I'll just wait until they're a little bit lower priced on Amazon.
Yeah, these weren't too hard to get and seemed readily available. So yeah, sure, you should pick them up.
I still have not seen Ness in a store.
Ah, yeah. Well, he's, you know, he was an exclusive only to GameStop, so that'd be the only place you would have been able to find him. And he definitely deserves a reprint and a wider release.
I think so, yeah. It was, some of those exclusives did end up appearing other places, right?
Yes, many of them have.
But like, not Ness.
Yeah, I think all the Pokemon, you know, were originally, you know, Target and Toys R Us exclusives, but they are all over the place now. You know, Lottie, for some reason, one of the Animal Crossing ones, was Target exclusive, but I saw her at Toys R Us this weekend, and now she can stay on their shelves forever and ever. She is really clogging the shelves at the Targets around here, at least.
And same here, too.
At any rate, I'm definitely glad that I picked all these guys up, and I'm eagerly awaiting the next wave. Speaking of which, pre-orders went up recently at Best Buy for Summer Isabelle and the Kirby series of Amiibo. So if you're interested in those, you can go online, put in a pre-order, and have that in the bag.
Very nice. Summer Isabelle, I'm tempted, because then that's Isabelle without Amiibo Festival. And those Kirby ones look really cute, too, so I might end up having to get those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that you'll be able to get Winter Isabelle separately at the same time.
I think you're right. Yeah.
These all come out on June 10th, so please look forward to it. I think that takes care of our news segment. We will take a little intermission, and when we come back, we'll be talking about the anniversary of the Nintendo 3DS. Okay, we are back, and we are here to discuss our big topic, which is the 5th anniversary of the Nintendo 3DS handheld. That is happening in you know, just a couple of days as we record this podcast, and I thought, hey, that's a pretty significant anniversary for a pretty fantastic system. So I just wanted to share some thoughts and impressions about this piece of Nintendo hardware. What did you think when they first revealed the Nintendo 3DS?
Well, I was one of those who wasn't swept up in 3D hype. I have had no interest in 3D televisions or 3D movies for the most part, just because I wear glasses and I have trouble seeing that stuff. My eyes get fatigued fairly easily. Mm-hmm. So I was interested in it, but especially because it was glasses free, but I was happy to hear that you could turn it off. Mm-hmm. But when they announced it also, they talked about Street Pass, and Street Pass was really interesting to me because I had been playing Dragon Quest IX, which sort of had a variant of Street Pass in it.
That's right. You could trade maps.
Yep, and I thought that would be huge if it was system-wide and I didn't have to be booted into a game to take advantage of it.
Yeah, personally, you know, I was there at E3 when they did the unveiling of the 3DS, and you know, I'm kind of there with you. You know, I wasn't really big with 3D movies. I wasn't really big on 3D TVs. I also have glasses. I don't like wearing, you know, extra glasses over my glasses. But that's one of the things that most excited me about the 3DS is, you know, being able to watch this stuff without having to put on an extra pair of glasses. So when they came out and they were talking about this, it sounded pretty cool. I was, you know, very interested in it and thought, you know, this could be, you know, really neat. And then later in the day at E3, they had a Nintendo roundtable discussion to tell us more about this. And that was where I first got to check out the system for the first time. And they were showing some footage, the intro to Ocarina of Time 3D. And I was actually able to, you know, see this with my own eyes, 3D without the glasses. And man, I was totally sold at that point. I'm like, wow, this really works. I am totally amazed. This is going to be fantastic. And there was, like, you know, a palpable buzz at all of E3 that year, you know, in that room at the Nintendo press event and pretty much the entire show. People seem to be really, really excited about, you know, the possibilities of this system because it has 3D, it has, you know, all the, you know, buttons and touchscreen and everything you would need for doing a wide variety of games. And then it's got, you know, like you said, the Street Pass stuff to, you know, provide these new experiences too. And it just seemed, you know, very multifaceted and had a lot going for it. And so I got pretty excited pretty quick.
Well, what about when you bought it? Did it live up to the hype? Because that was the point for me. Like, when you hear, when we heard what the launch games were going to be, the launch games were fairly disappointing, I would say.
Yeah, the launch is a whole nother thing. Because, you know, like I said, things were very exciting. People seemed really into it. And it just felt like there was a lot of momentum out of Nintendo and the 3DS coming out of that show. I remember, you know, we talked to them about, you know, what's it going to be priced? Because they didn't talk about the price at the show. And they were kind of like, well, you know, we're kind of gauging people's reactions and we're going to, you know, maybe use that to help decide what the price should be. And perhaps that enthusiasm, you know, ended up being detrimental to Nintendo in, maybe not the long run, but certainly when it came to launch, because the system ended up being overpriced. There weren't, you know, a lot of great launch titles. You know, there, you know, Nintendogs and Steel Diver and Pilot Wings, you know, they were okay, but they weren't mind-blowing.
And Ridge Racer, wasn't there one of those?
I believe there was, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was, you know, Street Fighter as well, Dead or Alive. There was other good stuff. I was just thinking of the three, you know, Nintendo ones.
Sure.
But I guess the other problem was I really felt like that system's window of opportunity was that Christmas. If it had come out in the Christmas of 2010, I think people would have just gone insane for that thing, and it would have been flying off shelves like nobody's business. Because, you know, this, you know, sort of, you know, 3D hype kind of lasted throughout 2010, but then it fizzled out pretty quickly. And, you know, people suddenly seem to be losing interest in 3D. And I think if it had been there as, you know, a gift-giving opportunity, then it would have been over huge. But by the time March rolled around, it's like, okay, this 3D fad thing, it's kind of already over. And, you know, so they weren't riding that wave anymore. The wave had already, you know, peaked and crashed. And then they're bringing this thing out, and it's overpriced, and it doesn't have the strongest first-party launch lineup. So,
yeah, I really wanted that Ocarina of Time 3D. Like, that was the game that sold me on the system in general. Like, I paid the full price for that based on Ocarina of Time 3D. And
that was still a few months out, though.
Yeah, it hit in the summer. And I don't like the design of the original 3DS. Like, I think it was a big step backwards. I think Nintendo had done so well with the DS, iterating that thing from the DS Fat, which was, you know, very much, it looked like a toy, really.
Yeah.
Kind of terrible looking back on it. But then you have
the DS Lite
and the DSi, and the DSi XL had come out not too far away from the 3DS. And I thought the 3DS itself, the small one, was a step backwards. It didn't it didn't look very good to me. It kind of looked like an ice cream sandwich when it was folded up. And the screen was small. I had been used to the DSi XL at that point, and I was not happy with the first iteration of 3DS, especially because I didn't think the 3D last... I mean, without the stable 3D of the new 3DS, I didn't think the effect was that great. I ended up turning the effect off for most games because it would, anytime it would go blurry, I would sort of lose interest in the game, or it would take me out of the experience. So I ended up turning it off instead. But
I can see that.
But the games, of course, even the launch games to some extent were really good. And the things that they had announced that were on the horizon were things that I wanted to play. So I stayed with it.
Yeah, that's understandable. I mean, personally, I didn't have any problem with the design of the old system. I still have my old Japanese system that I use on a regular basis, and you know, an old U.S. system that I bring out once in a while as well. For some reason, I'm now trying to collect all the Street Pass puzzle pieces on that system as well.
Oddly enough, I still do. I have my launch 3DS, and I keep it in my desk at work in case somebody wants to play Triforce Heroes or some like download game. Then I can whip that out and be like, hey, didn't bring a 3DS to work? That's okay. I've got one right here.
But yeah, definitely the later iterations, I think, were a step up. But yeah, that stuff, it didn't bother me, but I can see how it would affect other people. And, you know, like you said, there was a lot of promise. It came out, it was kind of all pure potential. And, you know, we didn't totally get the short end of the stick by diving in for full price. We got at least the Ambassador games, all the free NES titles and free GBA titles that no one else got.
That was such an unexpected thing for them to do. Like, no other hardware manufacturer would do what Nintendo did. Not only drop the price, but then like make good for the people who had bought in by giving you like, what was it, 10 games or something?
Yeah, 10 games.
Ridiculous.
10 NES
like that.
And 10 GBA.
So crazy. I was really happy as a customer after that.
Yeah, I didn't mind paying extra money for that stuff, and I think it did help, you know, make us, you know, ambassadors like this. I mean, I guess I was already, you know, pipping all Nintendo stuff at NP at the time, so that didn't really change for me. But yeah, I mean, if you want to get people excited and say, "Hey, Nintendo's doing this right," that was certainly a way to help do it.
Yeah, you know, one thing that they never really expanded on with the 3DS was the AR stuff. They had those cards, and they had that, like, what was it?
Face Raiders?
Face Raiders, yeah. They had that shooter that was kind of interesting. And
what was that? Was that AR? That didn't use the AR cards, but you definitely were standing up and spinning around and shooting at things.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. I thought you could point it at a card and something would come out. Maybe not.
I thought that was something different, but
they never really used that stuff to
its definitely
its
underutilized
full
function.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is true. And I also thought it would have been pretty cool if you've been able to download like full-length 3D movies, because, you know, I enjoy 3D movies, but I do not enjoy the glasses at all. So I thought it would have been cool if you could download some movies and just watch them on your 3DS that way. I mean, I know it would have been taking up a whole lot of space on your system and all those problems that go with that. But still, I thought that was something they were totally going to do.
And didn't they have an announcement like they were going to do that with Netflix or something? If I remember correctly, they had some kind of deal where, or at least they announced that they were also going to do 3D movies, and then either didn't or I wasn't paying attention to them.
The only thing I remember is they announced that they were going to do, you know, something in 3D with Green Lantern, and then it just ended up being the trailer. And of all the movies, Green Lantern, sheesh.
Yeah.
So, you know, there were a couple of missteps. You know, the launch could have gone better, and there are a few things that could have been utilized better. But overall, you know, the past 5 years of 3DS have ended up being pretty fantastic, I would say. There have been a lot of great games.
And I think I would say this is my favorite Nintendo handheld. if only because you can also play all the other Nintendo handheld games on it.
Yeah, almost. I wish you could, you know, download GBA games. That seems like another missed opportunity.
That's got to be coming, though, right? I mean, when they announced the Super Nintendo stuff and they said that it would only be playable on the new 3DS, I was like, well, why didn't they do that for the GBA games? I mean, they were clearly working on some kind of virtual console implementation of those.
Right.
If they didn't run on the old 3DS, then what about the new one? And they didn't. They haven't done anything with that yet.
Yeah, I mean, I would think at this point in the system's life cycle, they're probably not going to, but I would have said the same thing about, you know, Super Nintendo games as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing, is that we are up to 5 years, and, you know, we haven't seen the successor yet. Presumably it is the NX, which will be both console and handheld, but we don't know for sure. But, you know, certainly it's got a nice, healthy lifespan to it. But yeah, I thought we would maybe just talk about what some of our favorite games on the system are.
Let's do it.
Okay then, let's just get into it and go down the list of our top 10 games for the Nintendo 3DS. What is your number 10 game, CJ?
My number 10 is New Super Mario Bros. 2.
A fine choice.
Yes, I liked the coin collection stuff that they did in that and the sort of encouragement to speedrun. and all the DLC that they put out was pretty cool, and I enjoyed that game quite a bit.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I've always enjoyed the New Super Mario Brothers games better on handhelds than I do the ones on console. And you know, this one came out right around the same time as which game was it? It came out right around the same time as another console New Super Mario Brothers game, and I'm like, I'm just going to back burner this one, because I've got a console New Super Mario Brothers title to play, but I think I end up liking this one more.
Yeah, you know, I never finished New Super Mario Brothers 2. I did finish New Super Mario Brothers U, which I think was the one that you're referring to, where 2 came out early in the fall, and then the Wii U version came out, or the Wii U New Super Mario Brothers came out in
November. Yeah, I think
that's
right.
And, I never went back to this one. I was the opposite. Never went back to this one. I played some of the DLC and played some of the, sort of Street Pass, competition things. And, that was it. But I really enjoyed what I played. I really should go back and finish it. I got to that, in New Super Mario Brothers games, and actually in 3D World and Land also, there are like these half-step endings, which I think I may have gotten to like a sort of ending on this and never continued, but I should go back. I really did like it. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, I didn't 100% either, so it's one I should go back to as well. My number 10 title, Pokemon X and Y.
All right.
As I've said on the show before, I believe it is my favorite Pokemon game. I think it really did a lot to, make the series more accessible, make it a little more modern, and still contain all of the Pokemon goodness. I believe this is the title that introduced the Mega Evolutions as well. But very solid, very fun, really enjoyable Pokemon game.
Yeah, the best thing about this game was the experience share. Change to that, and that made such a difference. And this was the first Pokemon game that I finished, I believe. I've played all of them, but I had never actually completed one of them all the way through to the Elite Four and whatnot. So finally did it with Pokemon X, and it is a fantastic game.
Yeah, I mean, I almost forgot how good it was because, unfortunately, I have not finished it. But we were talking about, the Pokemon anniversary a few weeks back. So I fired it up again, started playing. Like, man, this is so good. Why did I step away from it? And, I've since stepped away from it again. I still haven't finished it. But I do enjoy it tremendously. And that's why it is number 10. And I totally agree about the experience system. Cuts down that grinding a lot and makes it a whole lot more fun to play.
Love it.
So what is your number 9?
My number 9 is Mario Kart 7.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I really like the Mario Kart games, especially on portable, but I really like Mario Kart 8 also. I had a lot of fun with this one, playing online and just playing through the single player. I thought the 3D in this was pretty fantastic.
It was.
And loved all the little tweaks that they made to the series. I love all the tracks that they included. Yeah, it's my number 9.
Yeah, it's actually a bit higher up on my list. I think I have it ranked in at number 6. But, you know, I think when it came out, it was probably, you know, by far my favorite Mario Kart game to come out at the time. Since then, it's been surpassed by Mario Kart 8 on Wii U.
Hmm.
But, you know, it looked great. It played great. You know, it has the sea, air, and land thing going on.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just a very, very fun racing title. And it did online really well also. So,
completely.
Yeah, that is excellent. My number 9 game is Super Smash Brothers for Nintendo 3DS. And I don't know, 9 might almost seem kind of low for that game. But I guess, you know, it's lost a little bit of its luster after the Wii U version came out, because, you know, after the Wii U version came out, that's the one I mainly focused on. But they did a really, really great job with the 3DS game. You know, they packed, you know, so much content in there. You know, all these characters, you know, able to do, you know, 4-player matches. And it's got, you know, those extra modes as well. And I actually like the, you know, the single-player progression more than I do the Wii U game. I like traveling along that map and being able to do those branching paths and stuff. I thought that was really fun.
Hmm.
But, I mean, you know, it's Smash Brothers, and it's done pretty much flawlessly on 3DS. So,
yeah.
You know, what more can you ask for?
Yeah, and they made it look different, too, with the sort of cel-shaded look to it.
Yeah.
And the fighting was 60 frames a second, right? I mean, they really, really did a good job on that fighting engine. And I think the 3DS game sold leagues more than the Wii U game.
Oh, well, given the user base, that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I kind of think of Smash Brothers as being a competitive fighting game mostly for consoles. But yeah, the 3DS game is quite good.
Mm-hmm. Indeed it is. So how about your number 8?
My number 8 is Pokemon X.
Aha.
Yes, for all the reasons we stated.
Understandable. Then I'll move on to my number 8, which is Shovel Knight. Shovel Knight, of course, you know, it's been on many systems, but, you know, it is a you know, retro-inspired action platformer. You know, it's incredibly charming. It looks great. It has fun mechanics. It feels like it's lifted, you know, right out of the, you know, golden heyday of, you know, NES platformers and action games. And the 3D is fantastic. You know, it's really hard to say, you know, which version I like better, Wii U or 3DS. But, you know, as I'm talking about this right now, all I can think about is the 3D stuff that's on the on the 3DS version. I can't remember, what was it about the Wii U version that at one point I thought might be the better selling point? I don't know. It's a very, very good game. You play that one much?
I have, yeah. I agree with you about the 3D visuals especially. I think pixel art translates really well to 3D, especially things with multiple levels of scroll
in the background. Often does, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what's your number 7?
My number 7 is Box Boy, a downloadable title from Nintendo. I think it's Intelligent Systems, actually, isn't it?
Oh, I can't remember, but I've certainly heard lots of good things about it from other people.
Yeah, I had heard things as well, and I played it a little and shelved it, and then I started hearing people mention it when talking about their games of the year of 2015, and I was like, I should go back to that one. And it ended up being one of my favorite puzzle platformers, maybe ever. They introduced different wrinkles to the gameplay, so you're this little box character, and you can spawn boxes out of yourself and use those to climb platforms that you can't reach normally through regular jump, and connect with different types of the landscape. Like there's a sticky ceiling area that you can sort of latch onto and use that to carry yourself across pits. It's just a really, really fun game. And when they announced a sequel to it, I basically rushed through the rest of the original and had so much fun with it. So much content, and it was only like $5. It was less than $10 on the eShop, and it's just such a fun
title,
minimalist game, and one that has become one of my favorite games.
Yeah, I've heard lots of good stuff about it. I've only played it a little, maybe I should give it more of a chance, because, you know, you speak very highly of it, Slate spoke very highly of it, and it certainly, you know, it seemed okay for my play, but I wasn't blown away, so I feel like that's one I should definitely dive into more.
I was in the same camp as you, actually, and then I got maybe a few more levels in and completed. There's, you know, maybe 5 stages per world, and mm-hmm. when you get a couple worlds in, it'll probably get you.
Well, it's only a couple bucks, so I got really nothing to lose. I should point out, though, it is HAL Laboratory, not Intelligent Systems.
Oh, okay.
That was the developer on that one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, my number 7, I suppose it's a little bit of a controversial choice, and that is Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater 3D. And the thing is that I absolutely adored this game when it came out on PlayStation 2, you know, more than 10 years ago. It was like, what, 2004 or something when it came out?
Oh, at least, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm amazed that they're able to translate all of that onto the 3DS. I guess the frame rate, you know, it definitely took a hit. That wasn't the best. But other than that, I thought it was a really amazing port. And they were able to include just, you know, so much gameplay in here. You know, obviously, it is not a 3DS original. It's something that had been played before. But, you know, it's such a darn good game. And to be able to cram all that into handheld form, I thought was pretty darn amazing. Plus, on a personal level, maybe, you know, this is, you know, full disclosure time. You know, there is a Nintendo Power magazine, you know, hidden in the 3DS version. I guess not hidden, but sitting on a table somewhere in, you know, some laboratory or something. And man, that was like the hardest thing I ever did, was getting that in the game. Like, going as the mediator between Konami and Nintendo to try to make that happen was just a nightmare, and it took forever and ever. But I'm really glad to see it in there, because I think it is a cool inclusion. And as I've said, you know, I super duper enjoy it. I do recommend you using the CirclePad Pro, of course, for the best experience. What's next on your list?
We're down to number 6.
Yes.
I'm going to say Pushmo, which is another eShop downloadable puzzle game.
Yes.
This one, I think, is by Intelligent Systems.
Okay.
One of those is. And this one, it was maybe the first game in a while when it came out where I used the 3D all the way through. And it's a puzzle game where you are saving these trapped children initially from an amusement park where all of the rides were initially in 3D, and then they became like flat 2D things and trapped the children inside. So basically you go around, I think the character's name is Mallow, you go around pulling these platforms out and jumping and trying to figure out like what the best way to get to the top of each of these structures is to rescue these children that have been trapped. And there are over 100 puzzles in this game. You can make your own puzzles. I'm not sure if that was in one or the Wii U sequel, but I had a ton of fun with this game, and I would stay up late at night trying to defeat these stages. And just one of the games that utilized the 3D effect best, in my opinion.
My number 6 is Mario Kart 7, which we've already talked about, so I will tag back to you and let you do your number 5.
My number 5 is Animal Crossing New Leaf.
Aha.
Yes, I am an Animal Crossing diehard fan from
way back. I'm not an Animal Crossing diehard fan, but this was the one that I really was able to get into for quite a while. You know, the other ones, you know, I just hadn't gotten into it for whatever reason, but this one, you know, was quite absorbing for several months.
Well, initially on the GameCube, the real attraction for Animal Crossing was you could get NES games.
Yes, that's
and
right.
Play them. On the GameCube, it was amazing. But so Animal Crossing New Leaf, really, I had played all of the DS game and the Wii game that followed up the GameCube game, and mm-hmm. those sort of they used the concept pretty well, but it was kind of the same thing where you're just kind of this new resident in a town and you buy your house and you do all these things.
That's sort of the dangerous trap that Animal Crossing sort of falls into.
Yeah. But this one really mixed things up where you are the mayor of the town. And you have a lot more role in the upkeep of things, and you have options to, for instance, make it so that the town doesn't get weeds and things if you don't visit your town very often, which I'm definitely guilty of. And the amount of customization that you could do in your house and things, I really fell in love with this game, and it ended up playing a lot of it, especially online, like keeping my town gate open so that people could come visit and leave things, and I would do the same. And I played it for a long time. It's definitely in my top three most played games on the 3DS, but I haven't played it in a while, but it really got me. It was something I was addicted to for a couple of months, which had not happened with an Animal Crossing game in some time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was sort of the same way. This one didn't quite make it into my top 10, but yeah, I was playing, you know, the game, you know, every day for several months and got really into it. I think at some point after I had, you know, all of the cool collectibles for my house, I think I stopped playing, and I'm sure everyone has moved away by now and my town is, you know, nothing but a giant pile of weeds and, you know, everyone's probably dead.
It's a very dystopian Animal Crossing town.
But yeah, because I haven't turned it on in a couple of years. But for a while there, yeah, I was totally hooked on it and was really getting into it. So I can understand that one very much. My number five, a great game. Some people might say it's a little low on this list, but I am picking The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time 3D. You know, it's an all-time classic. It's, you know, one of the most renowned, respected games of all time in its original form. And, you know, this was the upgraded version. You know, better graphics, 3D visuals, you know, a couple extra features. Really, what more could you want? So, I mean, I guess the only reason it's, you know, sort of, you know, low on the list at number five is because it is, you know, a port and not a brand new game. But, I mean, it's freaking Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Yeah. Now, did you finish it on the 3DS?
I did. Yep.
Yeah, I did as well. And I thought the vibrancy of the graphics in this remake just makes a huge difference.
Yeah, it looks spectacular.
Yeah, and I also liked the Sheikah Stones feature that they added in this, and is also in Majora's Mask, where it gives you a hint on the next area that you might want to check out, but doesn't actually like go so far as to give you the answer to some of the puzzles.
I don't think I ever actually tried that out.
Yeah, in Ocarina of Time, it's near the starting point in that first village, so it's easy to kind of pass it up and just never visit there again. But it was that was an interesting wrinkle to this that they revisited in Majora's Mask and actually made it better in Majora's Mask, and pointed out some of the side quest stuff in that where it's not actually telling you exactly where, but it's like showing you a photo sort of off to the side. It's like, hey, look over here. I thought that was a great addition to that game, and kept it so that I didn't have to look at hint books or anything.
Yeah, I was probably just being stubborn, like, no, I don't want a hint. I have to do it all on my own, but probably didn't realize that it was as subtle as you say it is.
Yeah.
I've not quite finished Majora's Mask yet, so maybe I will take advantage of it in that title.
You should try it.
Mm-hmm. What is next on your list at number four?
My number four is also Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time 3D.
Okay, well, enough said. I'll move on to my number four then, which is Fire Emblem Awakening. Fire Emblem, of course, has become, you know, quite popular in recent years, and this was the game that did it. I mean, I had dabbled in them before, but, you know, this was the one that it really got me. It really hooked me. I mean, part of it was that you could turn off the permadeath, because I'm kind of a wuss with these kind of games, and I don't want to be restarting battles constantly. I don't want to be losing characters either. So that was one thing. But also, I admit that I kind of got hooked on the whole, you know, dating relationship thing and trying to, you know, pair up other you know, these different characters and like, okay, which one is the best couple here? And going through all that stuff. And, you know, I've been playing Fates recently and it's very good as well. But I felt like these features felt so natural in Awakening. Like, you know, there's actually a reason, you know, for the story why the children of these other characters are showing up, whereas it seems really shoehorned into Fates. Like, well, we did it last time, gotta do it this time. But yeah, everything just worked, you know, so well in Awakening. And I really liked the characters in there. I really liked Lucina. I really liked, oh, crap, what's the main character's name?
I don't remember.
Krom. It was Krom. That's who it is. I really like Krom. So much that I actually do remember his name. But
this almost made my list. It did not make my top 10. But I'm actually like a new person to Fire Emblem. I only bought Awakening a few weeks before Fates came out to try it out. And I agree with all the things that you're saying. It did not make my list, but it is a fantastic game.
Okay, what is your number three?
My number three is Super Mario 3D Land.
Oh, what a coincidence. That is my number three as well.
Excellent. Great minds think alike on this.
And yes, it is a great platformer.
And it seemed to me like this was sort of like a 3D spiritual successor to Super Mario Bros. 3 with the little raccoon tail.
Yeah, totally.
And the level design, man, I just thought they really nailed this in 3D. I mean, Super Mario 64 did a fantastic job too, but when you're talking about 3D graphics that are also viewed in 3D, I thought Mario 3D Land did such an amazing job. I actually went to a GDC talk where they talked about how difficult it was to render those things out so that the camera showed you the right way to go and the right way to jump and so that nothing was being hidden. And that was super interesting too, because you don't really think about, oh yeah, with the camera control, since there's no camera stick on the 3DS, like how do you...
But there wasn't back then anyway.
Yeah, there wasn't back then. How do you arrange it so that some of this is obvious and not frustrating to somebody who's playing?
Yeah, I mean, when you're playing the game, you really don't think about that because the level design is so good. And you know, they make all that stuff just sort of, you know, it all works. You don't have to worry about it. You're just naturally guided to where you need to go. But, yeah, it's, you know, it's got, you know, lots of cool levels, had those cool new power-ups, and the 3D does indeed work very well. You know, it wasn't, you know, full-blown, you know, 3D like Mario 64, but sort of a, you know, a cool intermediary between a 2D and a full 3D Mario, and it worked brilliantly.
Definitely, and I liked the sort of false ending that they, I guess spoiler alert, that they have where you're only really halfway through the game. I thought that was a really unique thing, and I was loving the game so much, I was happy to see more of it.
Yeah, totally agree. What is your number two title?
My number two is The Legend of Zelda, A Link Between Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
A fantastic revisit, sort of, to Link to the Past area.
Yeah, so it is.
And
it's not quite a remake. It's, you know, a sequel, but yeah, it's basically the same place that you explored in that Super NES game, but updated and renewed on the 3DS.
Yeah, better than a remake, really. Mm-hmm. And I liked the things that it brought to the Zelda series, like being able to rent the equipment and the My collection, being able to power up some of those items as well. I just really loved the gameplay. I'm huge into the Zelda series, and I thought it just worked so well. I actually like it better than Link to the Past.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing, is that, you know, I've always loved Link to the Past, and it's, you know, one of my all-time, possibly my number one all-time favorite game. So, you know, my expectations were kind of sky high when this came out, and when it did, it, you know, basically surpassed all of them. It was very much a throwback. I mean, it's basically, you know, new Legend of Zelda, you know, modern polygonal visuals and, you know, stereoscopic 3D. But, you know, it's the classic 2D gameplay, kind of like the, you know, new Super Mario Brothers games do. And, of course, it had, you know, like you were alluding to, the non-linearity, because you'd be able to, you know, get the items, and that would let you do the dungeons in different orders. But it all came together, you know, super well. The story was really cool. Had some neat story twists. Yeah, I could not agree more. It is an amazing game.
Indeed.
My number two, on the other hand, is Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney Dual Destinies. Listeners of this podcast probably know that I'm a huge Ace Attorney fan, and so that title, up there very high on my list. You know, one of the best games in the series, great production values. It's got all the, you know, humor and drama and charm that the series is known for. Brought Phoenix back as, you know, the main character, introduced a couple of great new characters. I really like Athena, his new assistant. She's a great addition to the cast. And, you know, I just have a thing where I love yelling objection into my Nintendo handheld systems. So, you know, for that reason alone, it would probably make it fairly high up on my list.
Is that one of the features of the game, or do you actually you just do it?
Oh, that's actually a game feature. That's always been a game feature.
Do you play this on a plane regularly? Because that would be fun.
I don't believe I have. Yeah, that probably, you know, the game came out originally on GBA, or not that one, but, you know, the series did, yep, in Japan. And of course, there was no microphone on there. So that was probably a total bummer not being able to yell objection. I mean, you could, but it wouldn't do anything.
Yeah, you got to get immersed in the world by doing that. That's great.
So yeah, I've always loved doing that on DS as well as on 3DS. So yeah, I'm a big fan of that. Okay. Decision time.
Drum
what
roll.
Is your number one?
My number one is Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. Almost by a landslide, really. This is my favorite 3DS game. It, the original game on GameCube was sort of not that well received. I loved it. I reviewed
it. Yeah, I always liked it.
I reviewed it for EGM and gave it a 9.5. And it also got a 4 in the reviews. It was very divisive. And I loved the game. I thought there was a ton of promise in it. I thought it was great. But I think with the GameCube, people expected another Mario 64. And when that game was not it, they trashed it a bit and didn't see it for its merits.
I can see that.
Yeah, and the sequel, first of all, I was surprised that they even went back to revisit it, considering the reception the GameCube game had gotten. But I was very pleased to see just how much they added to everything, and the multiple mansions, and the different styles of environment, and the multiplayer modes. I had fun all the way through this game, and I probably should replay it soon. It just blew me away. It was one of the games that I forced myself to play through in 3D, but the 3D was still really good on the original 3DS. And I love everything about this game. I cannot speak highly enough about it. I waited in line. They started selling it early at PAX East. Back the year that it came out, they were selling that and the Pikachu 3DS at Nintendo's booth at PAX East. And I was lucky enough I had an exhibitor pass to that particular show, and I abused it to get in line, along with some people from Sony who were also in line right next to me, to get Dark Moon and the Pikachu 3DS.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I don't have, you know, quite as much love for it as you do. It just barely missed my top 10, I'm afraid. But it is an excellent game nonetheless. And I can, understand why it would be so highly regarded from you.
When they started, I think there were a couple of rumors that it was going to come to the Wii U or something else. And I got really excited about that. But, of course, that never happened. So
I have to say, though, it really would be a great fit for console. I really wanted that one to be a new play control game on the Wii, because it just makes so much sense with the remote, and I wish they had ported the GameCube version over to Wii, but oh well.
Totally agree. I agree.
So, now for my number one, it's very anticlimactic. It's The Legend of Zelda, A Link Between Worlds.
Yes.
As we already mentioned, an excellent game, surpassed all my expectations, and I love it, and wish I had the time to go replay it. But Nintendo keeps making lots of cool new 3DS games, and I keep playing those instead. So
maybe we'll get a remake of Zelda 1 using the Link Between Worlds engine. That'd be kind of fun.
I would love that. I wanted them to remake the original Legend of Zelda for a long, long time. I remember that was originally the plan when they had the Oracles games, and there were supposed to be three of them, and one of them was going to be a remake of the original. You know, that did not happen. But I would love to see it happen someday. I'm using this engine would be cool. You know, having a 3D, you know, fully, you know, Ocarina of Time style 3D remake of the original would be cool. But I'm always up for some more Zelda.
Yeah, and Link Between Worlds is so good. So good.
Yep, absolutely. Let me just say, coming up with this list was really hard. So my apologies to games like Kid Icarus Uprising and Star Fox 64 3D and Bravely Default and The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask 3D that we weren't able to include on here. You know, they're all great games. It pains me to not put them in the top 10. But, you know, they are awesome, and they make the 3DS system, you know, all the better for being on there. I think that pretty much polishes off our 3DS discussion, unless there's anything else you'd like to add about the system?
Nope. Sounds good.
The only thing else I have to say, I love Street Passin'. I love trading puzzle pieces. And I'd like to see that continue in whatever system happens next, because I'm kind of addicted to it.
I totally agree. And also posting to Miiverse. Like when I get stuck in a game now, I post a screenshot to Miiverse and see if anybody answers. And a lot of the time, people do. So that's been good.
Well, I'm glad to have somebody else who actually uses Miiverse. You know, a lot of times I talk to people and they're like, well, you actually use that thing?
Oh, yeah. And
yeah,
all the time. It's so useful, and not only for asking questions, but for saving screenshots and discussing games in general. I love it.
Yeah, I wish that function had been around when I was doing Nintendo Power, because you know, anytime you need a screenshot, you know, that's a super easy way to get it.
Absolutely, I hope that continues on in the next system as well.
Mm-hmm. As we mentioned, it is the anniversary, so you know, get out there, celebrate, do some street passing. And, you know, play some of these top 10 games we were talking about and enjoy your Nintendo 3DS.
Indeed.
Well, I think that's pretty much a podcast, but, you know, I think we still have time for something.
A dramatic reading?
That is correct. And this time it is going to be from the back of the box of the NES game Vice Project Doom. Shoot to thrill. Everybody's craving it, and the hunt is on. Gel is the latest drug to hit the streets. It's neon green, lethal, and dropping its users like flies. Your vice officer, Quinn Hart, a no-nonsense sledgehammer for the law. You pack a vicious 44, crushing grenades, and a lightning-fast laser whip that gives you an edge over anything on 2 feet. Your mission, take down the big boss of this operation. It ain't easy. You've got an army of assassins just waiting to take you for a ride. A long ride. You'll battle in the dark alleyways of Chinatown, on the highways, and through steamy jungles. Ultimately, you'll have to seek and destroy the vendor of the green elixir.
Dun dun dun.
Yep. Do not get hooked on the gel, kids. It is bad stuff.
That is amazing. I love those, the back of the box. Like, I'd love to interview people who wrote those. Especially some of the more esoteric and weird ones. Like, what were you thinking? Kind of thing.
Yep. Yeah. It's always a fun read. All right. Well, I think that brings us to the end of this episode. CJ, thanks so much for being on.
Thanks very much for having me, Chris.
You are most welcome. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at PowerProsPod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can also follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter at Chris The Hoff, and you can find CJ at SuperPac, that's PAC. You can email us at powerprospod@gmail.com, and if you like the podcast, we'd really appreciate it if you'd give us a rating on iTunes. Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Chris Johnston.
See ya.
and my personal dominatrix, Bayonetta.
If you need to learn how to talk to a lady, ask your mum.
We will see you next time.